Blog Talk Radio.
Mohawks out of New York.
Was it called the Black Mohawk?
I don't know. I just know it was Mohawk from New York.
Right.
That's what Grandma, Great-Grandma Limebaugh was, a full-blooded Mohawk Indian.
Right. Okay. And I know
did she appear that way?
Different
well,
tribe.
I didn't know her.
Oh, you didn't know her? Oh.
Her name was Catherine. Her English name was Catherine.
Yes. And she's buried in Moline, Kansas.
Henry, Henry Limebaugh, who was would have been my and Kay and my great great grandfather.
No, just great. He was grandpa's dad.
Oh, right, right. Great grandfather. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. He would have been dad's great great. No,
no.
He would have been dad's grandfather. Okay. I'm,
right.
He would have been Mike's great great grandfather.
That's right.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I knew some way one of us was connected as a great great.
It's Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah,
see, you actually, we're just let's see. Grandpa would have been half Native
Kathy.
American. Dad would have been a quarter, and we would have been an eighth. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then our kids would have been a 16th.
That's
right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Or a 12th, maybe.
Probably a 12.
Yeah,
12.
12. And then our grandkids would have been the 16th.
Yeah. And somewhere they keep lowering the blood percentage for Indians to qualify for Indian stuff. So.
I know, because Vicky, my daughter-in-law, checked that out here. They were having some kind of preschools. We have quite a few Indian places here in Oklahoma. And
oh,
she went to check that out, and they asked her how much blood Whitney had. Well, she called me, and I said, well, I would guess about a 16th or something. And they said, oh, yeah, she's welcome then.
Oh.
So I'm sure it's getting less and less through the years.
Yeah, but they get, but they're starting getting
through the
more.
Generations.
But they start,
who was it that lived in north of Leroy? It was your grandparents, I guess. Was that on your mother's side?
Right.
North of Leroy.
Right.
Oh, no. No, you mean in town, but on the north side of town. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That
right.
was Grandpa and Grandma Limebaugh.
Yeah, that was.
Okay, that would have been your mother's
dad.
Grandparents. Or
dad.
Mother's parents.
Dad.
No. Dad's parents. Limebaugh was their name.
Okay. I'm sorry. I get it.
Okay,
Grandpa Fox, mother's dad, he lived in Allen County.
No, now when him and Pearl were together, when she was still alive, didn't they live in what was called what's that?
Northcott.
Northcott, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they lived in the Northcott community, which would have been
where?
What north of Leroy, right?
No, it's east.
East,
of Leroy.
East Leroy, yeah.
It was between Leroy and Colony.
Right.
Well, I never heard of that place.
Well, the only thing there is a church.
Yeah, it was never a town or anything.
No.
It was just
a
church.
Oh, huh.
It was sort of like a community. Or
not incorporated.
No.
Never even had any stories there. No, it was
no,
just a
church.
And it was sort of like a, what do they call, I can't think what they would call them, like Northcott Community, Northcott. But
I don't know.
But then it was like this little area.
Uh-huh. I don't know how much area it took in, but I know that mother did grow up in Northcott Community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And that's where they had their farm. And
yeah, well, that's where our great grandfather, he owned 80 acres in there. Or no, let's see, how was that? He gave 80 acres to each one of his sons in that area. He willed that to them. And he had four sons, so that would have been, I guess, 320 acres.
Uh-huh.
And back in those days, that was probably a pretty good sized farm.
Oh, yeah, because they had no machinery like they do nowadays.
No. For
some of them
sure.
just had horses and plows, pull plows.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But they all lived right out there together for a while, all of Grandpa's brothers and him, our granddad Fox. They all lived right out there together because they all had an 80-acre farm to farm.
Well, okay, I have, maybe I know, maybe I don't know, but I forgot. What was Grandpa Fox's dad's name?
Albert.
Okay. Okay. So
Albert,
and
Mary.
Albert Fox that I knew was Albert Fox's son or grandson?
Yeah, no, grandson.
Grandson, okay.
He was Uncle Frank's boy.
Okay. See, we don't know a lot about our mother's side of the family because at least I don't feel like we know that much.
No, because grandmother, we never knew our grandmother.
Right. She was killed. Mom was killed.
Well,
and
grandma died very young. She had varicose veins. Now, this is the story we were told.
Right.
She had varicose veins, and she slipped off of the edge of a sidewalk and ruptured one, and they had to amputate her leg, and she bled to death.
Yeah, okay. And
she was about 54.
Right, yeah. I knew she was in her 50s when that happened. So.
Yeah.
So we never knew the women's side, the female side of our mother's family well.
No.
And on dad's side, Grandma Melissa Linebaugh, and then we Aunt Thelma. That was really the. Were there any other women of that on that side that we knew of?
Well, I don't know that we knew her all that well, but Grandma did have a sister that lived in Pittsburgh, Kansas.
Oh, she did.
Uh huh. But you know, we never did have any communication with her. I think Grandpa and Grandma went to visit her, but, of course, we never did.
Right. Hmm. Oh, that was been a long way to go back then.
Yes. That's probably why we didn't go.
Right. We thought going to Iola and Burlington was a big deal.
That's right. And we might have only done that once or twice a year when we did go.
Right. Go do our aunt or once a quarter or something shopping in Iola, because I can remember going into wasn't it J.C. Penney's had a big store there in the middle of the block there.
Yes, on the south side of the square. Uh-huh. They had a store there.
Right, and wasn't that the store where they would put the money in the things and they had little canisters and they. Go up to the balcony where the offices were, and they
That's
make
right. That's how they
this.
Made your change. Uh-huh.
Right. They made your change, and then they sent it back down to the clerk down there. So they had no cash registers down on the main floor.
Right.
That's
right. Air tubes? Those air tubes?
Well,
air tubes, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, they were.
But they weren't on air tracks, were they, Kay? They were more on like a line, wasn't they?
Well, kind of like, what do I want to say? They pulled a lever and it shot up on the up to the second floor.
Yeah,
now what they did up there, I don't know because we never saw how the canister got back down to us. But
they shot it back down to them
some way.
Yeah, it wasn't with air. It was like
like a chain sort of a thing. Wasn't it like on a chain?
Yeah, it was. And it went in a circle type thing. Well, it wasn't a circle, but it was a. You know, it'd go up, and then it'd bring it back down. So it was like on a gear thing, and then it would run that way probably. So, but
yeah.
I can remember when I was younger, was fascinated by how they used to do that.
Well, yeah, some mischievous kid would go there and buy something cheap and just watch them do that.
Well, that way, see, the clerks did not have to contend with making change or anything or taking money. Well, they took the money and put it in the canister, but, you know, there wasn't any money where the customers were.
That's why the stores weren't robbed.
That's right.
Too much trouble.
It kept the thieves out of there.
You know, that's the only store I remember having that, though.
Me too. That's the only one I ever remember seeing that in too. But it was always fascinated me when we used to go there. I used to love because Mom would go. We would go to J.C. Penney's, and she would buy She never bought very many clothes, but I think she bought jeans. Didn't she buy the boys' jeans and stuff
uh-huh.
there?
And
yeah.
Usually that's where we got our shoes.
Right, right. If she hadn't ordered them.
Yeah,
and,
we did order a lot of things out of the catalog, too.
Right. Because I remember, I think she used to order my, because we wore saddle Oxfords, the
yes.
Brown and white shoes.
Uh-huh.
And then we had to have them for cheerleading, too. And then
yes,
one
we
year,
did.
Then one year we had to have white shoes for cheerleading. Or
they were white bucks, remember?
Oh, yeah, right. I knew we had plain white shoes one year. That
uh-huh.
was a pain.
I know.
And
in fact, I had a boyfriend at that time, and he would take, one night he'd take my shoes home and clean them, and then the next night I'd take his and mine home and clean them.
So
you always
really
had to clean
weird.
Them every night.
And what boyfriend was this?
Larry Sutherland.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh.
I was sitting here thinking, Larry Sutherland.
He might still be alive.
No, he isn't.
He died.
Uh-huh.
Larry Sutherland, Larry, you used to clean each other's feet.
Shoes.
Uh-huh.
And what was that supposed to signify? Steady or foot rubbing?
No.
Or
I don't know what. We just did.
I promised
know.
Or.
No.
That's, have no clue.
That they cared about each other, I guess.
Yeah.
I want your shoes to be white. I want your shoes to be white. So they
right.
clean each other's shoes.
And, you know, I can't remember how we cleaned those. I think it was with some kind of powder, wasn't it, or something, those white bucks.
I don't remember. But we had a brush. Didn't
okay.
we have a little brush of some kind that we would brush that in with?
Yeah,
but,
I think
yeah.
so. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I want to tell you something, Michael. I probably have told you this before when you were a kid. But our mother made us, we had to polish our shoes, our buck shoes, our
saddle Oxfords.
Saddle Oxfords, thank you. Every night and wash the shoestrings.
Yes. Yes, we did.
We weren't going to go to school with dirty shoes.
You had to wash the shoestrings.
Yes.
Well, these are white shoes, I guess, huh?
No, they were
white,
well,
black.
White, brown and white.
Brown, yeah.
Saddle,
oh,
you know
I don't
what
know.
Saddle Oxford
people
is, don't you?
Yeah,
you
know, you call them
you
bucks. They're white.
No, those were the white bucks, but saddle Oxfords is what we had to polish and wash the shoestrings.
Those were our school shoes.
They were leather.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wear them.
Huh?
I would not wear them.
Well, that's what
we had to wear.
We didn't have any choice.
I would wear them out of distance of Mom, and then I would take them off and walk to school barefoot.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably Cadell in me. I says, well, there's a smarter way than cleaning these things every night.
I want to tell you something.
Barefoot.
Your dad had saddle Oxford shoes.
What was it? Were they a Rage? Were they a pretty popular kind of shoe that everybody seemed to have in the 50s? What would that have been, the 50s. Early 40s and 50s?
No, yeah. 50s.
Yeah, early 50s, late 40s.
Mm.
Well, that was the only style of shoe that they never made a lot of styles of shoes back there.
No, we didn't have any choice.
Never. Right. You know, we weren't fancy like they are nowadays. We never had Nikes and whatever else shoes we got.
And our tennis shoes were just high tops, remember, that they played basketball in.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, we had them because I played basketball.
Yeah.
Did you play basketball?
Yeah, I did. And we had
yeah.
high top tennis shoes.
Right. Right. Everybody wore them.
Well, I don't know. That seems very
everybody had high
cruel.
Top tennis shoes.
That's cruel to me. Well, I know about the high Converse for some just bizarre reason. Everybody had to buy Converse tennis shoes, and they were all high tops in the basketball, if and when you went out to basketball,
and
even in the 70s.
Right.
Even
and now
70s,
Converse
yeah.
is a brand name shoe that people wear, you know.
Uh-huh.
You're not an outcast if you wear a Converse shoe. So.
That's right.
They're an old brand. That's an old brand shoe. So.
Yes, it is. Uh-huh.
So,
you know, I think about what our cheerleading outfits looked like when we were cheerleaders.
Yeah.
You know, we wore turtleneck sweaters with long sleeves, and our skirts came down to the top of our bobby socks. And I look at cheerleaders today, and I think, my gosh. You know. They wear practically nothing today.
Right. Why do they wear anything? Right. Well, they've got that.
Are there any clothes on at all?
I know. And I think here we were dressed up to the neck and down to the ankles.
Right. Right.
But, of course, our skirts were real full. You know, we wore tights under them in case we would whirl around and our skirts would come up. And we always had tights on. Oh, yeah.
So there wasn't even a peekaboo, even if you twirled.
No,
because
we had tights on.
We had tights on.
Well, that still wasn't it. That's not. Oh well, okay.
We were completely covered. That's for sure.
Everything is covered.
They might have seen the upper part of our legs once in a while when we twirled.
Well, I could see that possibly for cold winter football games outside.
Well, we did it for basketball too.
Right. And I don't think we wore slacks or anything at the football games.
No.
Well, we couldn't wear slacks or jeans or anything to school. Anyway, I remember being in the eighth grade, maybe seventh or eighth, where on Fridays we could wear jeans.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, and that was it. And
yeah,
if
that
it was
the only day.
Real cold, you could wear jeans under your skirts, and then you had to take them off when you got to school.
That's right.
No wonder you guys don't know anything about your mother's side of the family. Women, it sounds like the women were dying off and wrapped up tighter than a...
Well, it wasn't only us. It was the way the whole world was at that time.
Yeah. That's
right, yeah.
That's the way the whole school was, for sure, in our area, anyway. That's all
right.
We knew.
That's right.
Walking back
to
school.
Well, I'll tell you, I have been up by the school here in Leavenworth when school's getting out or the kids are walking down, and they need to put some clothes on, I'll tell you.
I know. That's true.
They're coming out of a strip joint or something, and they've all been there performing. I go, my gosh. You know, I wouldn't let my daughter go to school dressed like that. I don't care. Oh, ridiculous.
Well, I don't know about the girl. I need to go up and look at the girls and see what they dress and wear. But Tristan, my son, he's very partial to this fleece-lined hoodie. They call them hoodies. Red. It's basically it's a coat with a hood on it.
Right.
It's what all the gangsters use to rob liquor stores with.
Right.
I have a couple of hoodies. I have a couple of sweatshirts with hoods on them.
I don't wear my hood. Yeah, he wears his hood, and he's very, very picky about it. And I said, well, that thing won't keep you warm in a really nasty storm if you were out there on the bus, you know. I said, you need to. So I started dressing him by Netflix. You've heard of Netflix? That's where you can order movies through the mail.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would get on the internet and looking for movies about young men that are sort of like superheroes and that wear hoodies. But point out there are certain movie stars that when they wear hoodies and it's real cold, they wear jean jackets over the hoodies, like a vest over on top of the. They layer it for severe weather. And I've been showing him that. And I think he's ready to relinquish, but he has yet to come home with a pair of girls' shoes and say, I have to polish these. We're getting serious.
They don't polish their shoes anymore. In fact, they don't wear shoes. They wear flip-flops all the time.
Right.
I'm going to have to warn him about that. I don't want to see you bringing any shoes home to polish or wearing any flip-flops by another person. That's it.
You know, that was just a nightly routine for us, was to clean our shoes every night.
Right, that's right. Do homework and clean shoes.
Uh-huh.
See how lucky you were, Michael, that you never had to do that when you were a boy, because we never made
you do that. Well, even that was, I guess that's a blessing that I never had to do that. That's true, yeah. Well, maybe that's for the rise of television. This is like the screen, what I call staring at screens.
Oh, yeah.
People stare at too many screens. We're like animals that are intoxicated or hypnotized with the flashing lights of the screen, and it's affected the whole country, and maybe generation had to, we were just although our screens were just black and white, unlike the Mitchells. The Mitchells in Iowa had color flashing screens, but us Leroy people had black and white, usually with a lot of static flashing screens. But I think that tends to hypnotize people, and each successive generation is more and more hypnotized. I know my son is.
That's true. I was at a lady's birthday party last weekend she celebrated her 80th birthday, and she told how when she was a child, they lived out in the country, and she said in the evenings, the older people would sit around and talk about their youth, and the children would sit and listen, which we've lost that completely. I mean, that does not go on today.
Right.
So she has sat down, this lady, she has written a memory book so that her kids will be able to know what kind of a childhood she had.
Right. Well,
because we don't talk about it anymore.
I mean, how do we explain 395 listeners last week?
I don't know.
And do you think any of those 395 listeners are polishing and buffing their shoes every night?
Well, no, I doubt if any of them are today. They might have during our youth, but probably not today.
Or doing it for their potential boyfriend or potential girlfriend. Was Larry and you really going steady or anything? Or
no, we did date, but we only dated for about 4 months.
That could be called a term of endearment.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, it was.
How do you know she likes you? Because I polish her shoes every night.
Well, he was buffing my white bucks is what he was doing.
Buffing my white bucks. Something sort of sensuous in that now that I think about it. I think I'll go get me a cup of coffee with it. I'll be right back.
And I think, didn't those white bucks have red soles on them, Sandra? Do you remember?
Oh.
I was trying to remember. I don't know that they did. It just
I thought
just
it was
kind of
Saddlelock suits that had the red sole, red the red, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. You know, now today that's a real thing, these shoes with the red soles.
Oh, I know.
Oprah wears those.
Right, the high-dollar thing.
Like $1,500 a pair or something like that, or maybe even more, I don't know. But, you know, I have no idea what shoes cost back in those days because, you know, we didn't pay for them.
Right, that's what I was going to say. And a lot of times Mom ordered our shoes out of the catalog, too.
Oh, yeah. In fact, you know, a lot of our stuff came from Sears and Montgomery Ward.
Right. That's right.
Because when you're in a small town like that, of course, we had Sadie's, you know, which she was a dry goods store.
Right. But I don't remember, how long was that store there in Leroy? Was it there when, I know it was there when I was in high school because we would go in there and buy fabric and stuff when I had things. In Home Ec. And then she would have, the school would have informed her what we were going to be working on, like aprons or skirts or something, and she would have patterns for this stuff.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Let's see, that was Garvey's Dry Goods was the name of the store.
Oh, right. Okay, Garvey's. What Garvey was that?
They were from Waverly, and it was Sadie's sister. And her husband actually, Sadie's sister and her husband owned the store, and Sadie worked for them in the Leroy store.
Oh, okay.
And they had a store also in Waverly.
Oh, okay. Well, was Sadie ever married, or was she just an old?
You know, I don't remember. I don't remember her having any children that would come to see her.
I don't remember.
But she lived
at
our house, so.
Right, in our famous apartment.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
And I can remember Mother always fixing her a Sunday dinner plate.
Right.
You know, whenever we had our Sunday dinner, she'd always fix Sadie a plate to take upstairs to Sadie for her dinner.
Right. Yeah, because through the week she always ate downtown or uptown.
Yeah.
Or, at town.
Because, you know, she kept the stores open 6 days a week back in those days. You know.
Right. Never, wasn't open on Sundays.
No.
Remember when we used to, you couldn't shop on Sundays anywhere.
Oh, no. No, everything was closed on Sunday.
But now the drugstore was open on Sundays.
Oh, I don't remember that.
We'd open at 3 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
In the afternoon. And we would open up till, I think, we would just open for like 3 hours, 3 to 6 or something like that on Sundays.
Okay. Must not have been any pro football games on in those days.
No. We weren't watching football like they do now. I mean, you know. But I think, and I don't know why we did from 3 to 6, but I remember going into work, if it was my Sunday to work, we'd have to go in it.
3 o'clock.
Because I worked there for about 3 years. So it was, we'd work, I can't remember if it was every other Sunday I would have to work or, anyway. But sometimes the brewer, Mary Brewer, would work, and I can't remember who else worked in the drugstore with me. There was another high school girl I thought.
I thought you said Shirley Miller worked with you at one time.
She trained me, and then she left.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. And then I worked there, and, you know, gosh, my memory is failing me here of who else worked there besides me and Mrs. Brewer and C.A. and Mary. Of course, Mary, didn't she graduate when we were freshmen?
When you were a freshman?
Well, yeah, when I was a freshman, or was it when I was in eighth grade?
I don't remember what year she graduated. She comes
Kessner.
Back for alumni all the time. But.
Right. Her and Barbara Kessner and Joyce Glazier.
I think Barbara Kessner graduated in 50.
Okay, see, then I would... And that's when I was a freshman.
Okay.
So I think they might have been in high school when I was a freshman.
I see.
They might have been seniors. And they might remember when we were freshmen how they would initiate you when you were freshmen.
All right, yes. And that was a full day of initiation. And in fact, it went into the evening.
Right.
Because I remember when I was a freshman, we had to dye our hair green because they called us green freshmen.
Right.
And we had to dye our hair green. Now, I don't know how we did that, but my hair was green. And, of course, that night they took us all to Iola to the movie.
Really?
I had to get home and get my hair washed, and I remember drying it in the oven.
Oh!
Because
well,
I wanted my hair fixed to go to the movie in Iola.
We never had the hair dryers back then.
No. I remember getting a perm one time at the beauty shop where they put those things on you. They were kind of like clamps, and then they had cords to them, you know, and hooked into something that put heat through those to curl your hair.
Right.
You couldn't move because you were hooked up to this machine.
And if you were on there too long, too bad.
Oh, it's crisp. Then your hair would be crisp.
Yeah. Burst your hair up.
Yeah. But no, that initiation was a big deal, and it was always the seniors that initiated us.
Right, the senior and initiated the freshmen, and it was usually right after school started. Maybe
soon
September
after
or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a picture of.
How long did your hair walk around with your hair green?
All day until school was out.
Oh, so it wasn't a permanent green. And
oh, no. It was. I'm sure it was food coloring or something.
Some of that.
You know, who knows?
That's what she had to do when she was initiated. And you know, I can't remember what we had to do.
Well, I remember having to dye my hair green.
I had to get my class annual out and my school annual and see. I'm sure there's some bit. But I remember the year I got a picture of Viola Looney when she was being initiated.
Oh.
She was had on some awful-looking clothes, and her hair was like in little pigtails all over her head, it looked like.
Oh, my legend.
I'm going to send you that picture, Mike, so you could put on the web. I'll have to get that done.
Well, yeah, I should. I was going to call Viola today. I said I'll just put her picture on the Internet.
I'm sure she'll recognize it. But yeah, that
did
was
I? While I was at the coffee machine making coffee, I was had it on speakerphone. Did I hear you say, Kay, that you stuck your head in an oven to dry
yes.
your hair?
Right, yeah, because we didn't have hair dryers, and of course I was having to do it quickly because we were going to go to a movie in Iola that night, so I had to get my hair fixed.
Was that your mother's idea, or?
I guess, probably. I have no clue.
Well, how did
one
you
way to get rid
Iola?
Of your children.
They took a bus. We took
they took a
school
bus.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that put your head in that oven. Put your head in that oven. Okay.
Well, the heat was on, so it was okay. I wasn't being gassed.
My God.
Right.
But we had to just get by. We had to do things the hard way. We didn't have all these conveniences.
Kids would die nowadays if they had to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Was it an organized trip, like maybe with a bus or what
yes.
happened? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that was our treat after being initiated all day. They took us to a movie in Iola.
That is nice.
They abused them all day.
Yeah, they abused them.
They abused them all day.
I don't remember what all went on except dyeing my hair green. I do remember that, but I don't remember of any other incidents that we had to go through.
Were you dating Larry then?
No, I don't think so. I probably didn't know him too well because he didn't go to elementary school in Leroy.
Right. So was he a sophomore or in your same class?
No, he was in the same class with me.
Oh, okay.
In fact, he's younger than I am, or he was younger than me.
That would be, I was wondering about that. Hot hair, green hair, stuck in an oven, go to the movie, exchange shoes, and such is the beginning of life in Leroy High School.
Yeah, that was our beginning, yeah.
That's tough. Yeah.
Well, when was it that you were seeing Larry or whatever?
I don't remember. Don't remember.
Well, it would have been high school time.
Oh,
yeah,
I think it was my sophomore year, maybe. It was probably my sophomore year. I don't really remember.
Well, when did you start dating Dale?
Oh, probably when I was a freshman. But we were broke up then.
Oh, okay. between boyfriends there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we had those days. Yeah.
Well, if you go by a hierarchy of popularity and, you know, prom queen, I guess, being a pinnacle or something, I guess, neither one of you, that was an eye-opener for me, neither one of you really became prom queen or football homecoming queen. Neither one of you.
Nope.
So drum majorette, you became a drum majorette in the hierarchy, and Sandra was a cheerleader, I think. Is that about it?
Yeah, we were both cheerleaders.
Yeah, we were both cheerleaders.
Because when I was the drum majorette, I would have to change into my cheerleading. Well, I'd have to change into my drum majorette outfit and then go change back into my cheerleading outfit. Because I was the drum majorette and the cheerleader at the same time.
Right.
And thank goodness when I was a cheerleader and played in the band and we marched at halftime, we never had to change as
I know. I always did, though.
I know.
And because we always marched out on the field to do the Star Spangled Banner.
Right. Yeah.
So I had to get into my drum majorette outfit to do that, then go get into my cheerleading outfit. And then at the half of the game, I had to go back and change into my drum majorette outfit.
Right. And then at the end of the game, you had to wear your civilian clothes.
Then I had to go back and put on my cheerleading outfit after we marched at halftime. And then, of course, I wore that then the rest of the evening.
So the question is, where's Kay? And they tell us she's changing clothes. Where's Kay? She's still changing clothes.
Stay
out of the field.
You know, we always had a dance after the football games when we were in school.
I was just going to say, then we had a dance after the football game.
Down at the VFW hall.
Now, this would have been every football game, not just homecoming.
No, every game.
Every game. Every home game.
Yeah, the home games, we always had a dance after the ball games.
Right, right.
And it was kids in school that provided the band, the music. It was live
right.
music. It was. I know Dolores played in it, Dolores Dresker.
Okay.
And I can't remember who else played in it. I think Meredith Brink did.
Yeah, she probably she
there
probably
was usually three. There was usually three that played music, and I can't remember who the third one was, but seemed like it was Dolores and Meredith, and then the third one. Because Dolores played, she played the accordion.
Right.
She was very talented, and
mm-hmm.
she played the drums.
Right.
And then Meredith played the piano. Meredith Brink played the piano. And
she
played clarinet, too. Yeah, she did. She played the clarinet. That's right. Mm-hmm.
And Meredith Bundes played piano, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I can't remember who, but we used to have, sometimes if we never had a band, we would just have records, didn't we?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, the real records then.
Right. The old LPs.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're worth anything, but I have a friend. He's got a bunch of them here. Was his sister's?
Well, my son has trunks of them.
Oh, really?
Yes, he does. And he has the albums, of course. That's what he collects.
Yeah. All right. He probably wouldn't. He wouldn't even sell those. He's such a collector.
No. He goes out. Yeah, he's a collector. He goes out and buys them all the time.
Yeah.
He's always on the lookout for albums back in those, for, you know, the records in albums.
Right, right.
The LPs. And I'm not sure if he's got, let's see, we used to have 78s and 45s, wasn't it?
45s, yeah. When I was in high school, the 45s were the popular thing.
Is that right? Okay.
Because they had the big thing in the middle of the record.
Oh, yeah.
So 45 were... Yeah, they're still around even, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
No, they have instead of 78s, the young musicians will put out what they call EPs, and they're very few, but still make a actual vinyl, not slate records.
Yeah.
And they're called EPs, and they're not as big as an LP, and they're about the size of a 78, which is a little smaller than the big LPs.
Wow.
So. And they're made out of vinyl. Young musicians will use those because they still have those machines that make them, that press them, and it's for a price. It's premium. It's not cheap. And most musicians that are working musicians will just burn CDs. We all know what CDs
are. Sure.
Right. Right.
But in our shop, shop teacher in Leroy, Kansas, his name was Melvin Zollers, and in Leroy, there was a big dispute. Not only did he not like rock and roll, but he said he taught us that he would play 78 records in our shop class, whether we liked it or not. We had to listen to him. And he would go on and expound on the virtues of jazz versus big band.
Radical.
I guess big band music was considered, and swing music was considered some kind of different music than jazz. That was a big deal, in, I believe, in your generation, wasn't it?
Right. Oh, yeah. Yes, it was. Well, going back even further on musical record recordings, remember when Grandma Limebaugh had the old phonograph player?
The Victrola.
It was like a chest. It stood up in the, I remember it in the living room, and you'd turn it, you'd
crank
wind it up, and the thing
right.
was like a cylinder.
Right.
They were like a
no
cylinder.
No electricity. Right.
Right.
No electricity. That was the whole thing. There was no electricity,
right.
So.
Right. And
yeah, very, very ornamental, beautiful pieces of furniture, even if they didn't work.
Right.
Mr. Zollers would play those 78s, and we would listen to him and go, yeah. Well, we had 45s with the Beatles or whatever. And he would consciously point out the virtues of 78s over 45s, And, you know, for instance, these are heavier boys. These last longer.
Yeah.
And
I'm wondering, what does that have to do? What does that have to do with shop?
It had nothing to do with shop, but we were all trying to kill an hour.
I see. Oh, okay.
And he was helping us kill an hour. He was.
I see.
He was actually a pretty nice guy. People made a lot of fun of him, including myself, but he was really actually a pretty cool guy in terms of trying to understand what was going on in the crazy heads of the teenagers in Leroy High School at that time. I assure you, we were not so busy. We were too busy to shine each other's shoes. I'll tell you that right now.
That's going to bother him today, Dave.
I guess so.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Well, I think it's sort of a very strange expression of endearment. You know, I think that's really sweet, actually. But you know,
yeah, I think
people
it is
from
too.
But it is sort of from Mars. I mean, people today would wonder why would they do that? You know.
Well, sure, and people today don't polish their shoes.
Shoes at all, right? You don't have
yeah.
to, right?
I don't know. Do they even make shoe polish anymore?
You know,
I have some. I actually do. Yeah, I have some. Yeah, you still have to buff them and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a paste.
Yeah,
you know, well,
yeah.
Not for our white shoes, but for.
Right. No, that's true. Getting the paste is another step, but I have paste and liquid.
Liquid.
The liquid
okay.
is. The liquid is cheating.
Well, yeah,
Burke.
It's easier. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it shines. When it dries, it shines, right? The liquid.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't have to buff it.
Right.
So, back to the thing of 78s and the vinyl. Do you remember the differences between? I mean, in terms of was music? I know Bing Crosby was pretty popular in the 30s and 40s. I don't know, in the 50s.
Elvis was in the 50s.
Elvis,
yeah,
but that was just
Elvis.
Coming in. How was that? So that wasn't really appearing in Leroy, was it? I guess it was, but how would it? I mean.
Well, you know, I
records,
don't know.
Radio.
Yeah, we had radio to
right.
listen
we
to.
We still had radio,
uh-huh.
Michael.
Right.
And
well, you guys don't really qualify as baby boomers. I mean, you're not really
no.
of the
no,
hippie
we're
generation.
We're
right.
older than baby boomers.
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Bob, my kids, Bill and Bob are more like baby boomers.
Baby boomers. Yeah, our brothers. See, they were born in the 40s.
Bill
would have turned 70 this month if he had lived.
Oh, geez.
Right.
So, you know,
he might have been a little older than the baby boomers because aren't they just now reaching Social Security age?
Right. Then Bob, he'd be 69. He'll be 69 in December,
yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm trying to think what kind of music you guys would be listening to that would consider Nat King Cole.
Well, yeah, we listen
Harry,
to him.
Harry
and Frank Como. Sinatra. Frank Sinatra.
And Frank Sinatra. Was he really that was... That was one of those you'd actually see as a record in your school or at your homes?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember having a record player at
we
home. Do you?
We never had a record player at home, no.
Because we listened to the radio, you know.
Right.
What was that? WDAF in Kansas City played music all day long.
Or WHB.
Huh. WHB,
was
that was it, yes.
WHB played music all day, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a farm station now or something.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, it is, really. Actually, it is.
But, they play all day long.
Its call letters are still there. I think it's 710. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's what it was then, too, I think.
That's what it was then, too, and WHB. But it was music all day long. And we had, I remember when we used to, in the summertime, I don't know if you remember this, Kay, when we'd have to mow the yard or something because we had the old push lawnmower, which wasn't that noisy. We would take extension cords and run them outdoors and hook the radio up outdoors.
Right.
Where did they put their earphones on?
Yeah, we never had earphones with batteries. We never had battery radios.
No.
Well, that's because their driving spaces are so noisy and polluting that they have to have earphones.
We had our, and in fact, we had one lawnmower that had rubber wheels on it.
Oh, yeah.
And one had iron wheels and one had rubber wheels.
Right, yeah.
It was a big deal which one you used, I'll bet.
Well, we took turns. You know, we take turns. One
rubber wheel.
Yeah. And we'd always go one behind the other. So, see, actually, we were mowing two swaths at one time.
Cool.
Yeah.
And the radio was rolling, right?
Yes, and the radio was playing.
Yeah.
And we had quite a big yard to mow.
Oh, we had a big yard. We had a big yard to mow where we lived there on the corner there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then we had to mow Pearl and Albie's yard, too.
Yes, so it was almost half a block.
Right.
Well, it would have been half a block.
Yeah.
So. And I can remember we cut, you know, we trim around the trees with scissors.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, we never had fin trims then.
Sounds like you wouldn't be able to do much except mow all summer.
Well, that's what we did. It took us a day. It would take us a whole day to do that, to mow and trim.
And
but
we
probably got 50 cents. Or maybe even less than that.
I don't think Mom and Dad even paid us. But
I don't think they did. That was just part of our job.
Yeah, Albie Ringel would pay us. I think they'd give us a dollar or two.
Okay.
Need to get out there and start a mowers union.
But I can remember them when the boys started mowing, they got power mowers.
Right.
Oh, cheaters.
I know.
We were abused. Yeah, and Mom used to get up and take them to school. She would not make us. We had to walk.
I know.
We had to walk. I don't care what kind of weather it is, we walked. I don't remember her.
Well, it wasn't the mythological 5 miles to the snow. It was about 5 blocks.
Yeah, about five blocks.
Do you ever remember her taking us to school?
Well, you know, I can remember sometimes she would. If it was, you know, if we were in a blizzard or something, she might take us
to school.
Oh, yeah, we didn't have days off for snow.
Well, they are now. Well, they have a special. We're a little low here, but we've got time. I wanted to tell you this. Nowadays, out here in rural North Jefferson County, there's a special message machine now where it's able, through the wonders of technology, for them to tape a recorded message and announce it, and it calls maybe 500 telephones wherever you're at. Now, you'll even call your cell phone. I have mine programmed to call. So the school system, say, originally for snow days, that's what it started out as, snow days, they would call us. Because a lot, you know, although almost everybody we get up before dawn, and Tristan and I are running around the house and watching the weather, and then we go right to BBC News. We watch what's going on around the world in the morning. And so we have access to the media, so we're able to check the news. Well, evidently people are using that as an excuse, saying, well, I don't know, and the bus driver would come by, and no one would be ready, you know, in the snow. So to make sure that people knew, they had the school board buy this special machine, special system that would, at the same time, and it's to the minute, because you only got till 7 o'clock to find out if you're going to go to school or not, if you're watching the television.
Right,
it says, and believe me, Tristan is watching the television on a snow day. A potential snow day, he's glued to WIBW 13 Topeka TV, and he's watching to see if that school comes around on the bottom. The name of the school comes around on the bottom of the screen.
Right.
And he knows the rules. If it's before 7, Dad, I'm not going to school. I'm going back to bed. And, so anyhow, they put in this special system that would call simultaneously hundreds of patrons. I don't like that word. Patrons. Phone numbers, and I'll at the same time identify, tell them that it's a snow day, we're taking school off, there won't be any bus service, blah, blah, blah. That's sort of handy. At first, when I first moved out here, I thought, that's pretty neat.
Uh-huh.
Well, now, I got a phone call, and you never know, it's a weird number. It's not the number you're accustomed to, the local area code and prefix. It's, you know.
Right.
And it only happens once or twice, maybe 3 times a year. out here,
oh,
right? Because
yeah.
We don't have a lot of snow days, really. And so now I got a strange call the other night, and I thought, oh, what is this? And I answered it, and it was the voice. It was like this. It goes, Central to Centralia will be squad, and we'll be back at school. I'd like to go on the road to victory. And I did not know what they understood. I did not understand what they were saying. I was like, what is this? What is this? And it's no snow. I mean, it's
no.
There's no snow at all. We're in a drought, as a matter of fact, still. We're 12 inches short of rain on a yearly basis. We're still in a drought. Tristan, that sounded like that stupid machine the school installed. And Tristan goes, yeah, I don't know what. There's something going on at school today, Dad, or tomorrow, Dad. I don't know what it is. What did they say? I said, I don't know. I couldn't understand the lady. It was a woman's voice.
Uh-huh.
So I called. My neighbor came over. Yesterday or 2 days ago, just stopped by real quick on his way. He has two children in the same school on the same bus route. And he popped over in here, and he said, I said, did you get that one of those strange phone calls? I couldn't understand what they were saying. I played it back on my voicemail, and I couldn't. He goes, I don't know what it means either. That thing was supposed to be for snow days. Now that we don't have any snow and we're in a drought, they're using it to do something with football.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So, I mean, that's sort of a funny, I think to me it's sort of funny. What happened is that Friday they were announcing that the buses will be picking people up to go to take the high school football team to some game in Centralia.
Oh.
Wherever Centralia's
at. So it's when the buses run or don't run that they put out their message?
Right, I guess, yeah. But originally it was for snow days. So.
Oh, for land's sake.
Well, they've
but
got
technology has sort of turned into its opposite, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, I believe that.
You could not understand a thing she was saying. You know,
that's the way that they can inform people of what's going on with the buses anyway. I mean, you got the system, you might as well put it to use.
Well, that's
yeah.
true, but, you know, at least make the message articulate. I don't know what it was, but
well, yeah,
that was a strange... You couldn't understand it. Now, some of the music that opens up the, what is it, that song I play, the background, the music that opens up is actually off, and I want to let listeners know this. You can go to a place called the Internet Archive. It's just typed on your Google or whatever you search with Internet Archive.
Uh-huh.
And when you get there, there are literally billions of files there. And in the search engine for the Internet Archive, type in 78, that's the number, 78 RPM collection. And it will take you to all these wonderful free recordings that you can download of music taken, recorded directly off 78 RPMs. And there are hundreds of songs, if not thousands, that have been put up into the public domain. And you're allowed to download them and play them and use them for whatever purposes you want.
Oh, really?
78 RPM collection on the Internet Archive. And I thought I'd let you guys know, because that's where I get a lot of my music that I play to start up and finish the show.
Yeah, I wondered where you got those songs at.
Huh?
I wondered where you got that music at.
Yep, that's where it comes from.
Yeah,
would you guys like to have your any comments to comment before I put on Benny Moten's Kansas City Orchestra in a 1924 recording of South Kansas City.
Oh,
that was recorded in 1924. We'll finish the show with that. Do you guys have any comments? Closing comments before we close the show?
Well, I just like to say that, you know, we used to have, it went from 78s, 45s, then to the, what was the tape that we used to put in there, the big tape?
Oh, eight-track.
Eight-track.
And then we went to the other little tape,
cassette,
and now we're on the CD. So
CD.
We graduated from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's right.
Yeah. Right. So
full cycle, maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows what's next?
Oh, I think it'll be, well, if you're in New Jersey, you'll probably be doing this. So I'll tell you one thing. I'd be honored and privileged to polish your shoes anytime, Kay. What a wonderful story.
Thank you.
Hit story. I hope the kids that listen to this consider doing that. Next time you 20-somethings and teenagers, consider offering to polish and buff your girlfriend's shoes, and she'll probably wonder with cross eyes, what is he up to? But it might mean something. You know,
a new trend. We'll learn a new trend.
Yeah, that's your memory. Bye. You never know. You never know what you're going to get on the line ball. So it's just, would you believe that is that was a term or an expression of endearment to, I think that's pretty cute. As far as it went with me, it was mainly exchanging rings, class rings, and stuff like that. But I never thought of polishing my girlfriend's shoes. It's a good one. We'll put one more on while we have time. Here's one that actually is pretty interesting. Another oldie, Down by the Old Mill Stream with Benny Bell, and this was put on at 78 also. I'm sorry, I just dragged this out a little bit, but I want you to hear.
Down by the old, not the new, but the old mill stream. Don't mean the river, but the stream. Where I first, not second, not third, but where I first met you. With your eyes, not your nose, not your lips, but your eyes so blue. Not green, I think, dressed in gingham, not velvet, but gingham too. Oh, it was then, not now, but then, that I knew, not old, but new. That you loved me, you didn't hate me, but you loved me too. Da-da-da-da, you are 16, not 21. My village queen, not the king, but the queen. Down by the old, not the new, not the new, but the old mill stream. And I don't mean river, down by the old mill stream. the new, but the old, just the old, not the new, but the old. Where I first, not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth, not sixth, not seventh. With your eyes, not your nose, not your lips, but your eyes so blue, not green, not pink, dressed in gingham, not velvet, but gingham too. Oh, it was then, not now, but then, that I knew, not old, but new. That you loved me, you didn't hate me, but you loved me too. Da-da-da-da, you are 16, not 21. My village queen, not the king, but the queen. Down by the old, not the new, but the old mill stream. And I don't mean river, down by the old mill.
These were considered party LPs, 78s, party 78s. In the 30s and 40s, something that Kay, the Limebaugh sisters' parents, may have been listening to when the children weren't around. And this is another 78. Benny Bell and Billy Jones were two musical artists that were very popular in the 19s and early 20s. And this is another one, Barefoot Days by Billy Jones.
I can remember how proud I used to be when dad or mother would buy new shoes for me. That's a feeling you've all had, how new shoes would make you glad. But the best time, if you recall, was when you wore no shoes at all. Barefoot days when you were just a kid. Barefoot days, oh boy, the things you did. You'd go down to a shady nook with a bent pin for a hook. You'd fish all day, fish till night, but the darned old fish refused to bite. Then how you'd slide down some old cellar door. You'd slide and slide till your pants got tore. You know that sliding down cellar doors make your clothes tear. You get a lot of splinters, but you mustn't tell where. Oh boy, what joy we had in barefoot days. You'd go down to a shady nook with a bent pin for a hook. You'd fish all day, fish till night, but the darned old fish refused to bite. You'd have to go home and stay in your bed till mother got busy with a needle and thread. Oh boy, what joy we had in barefoot days. We were so happy till Sunday came along. That was the one day when everything seemed wrong. All dressed up as stiff as thought, off to church we had to march. And no wonder we had the blues, because we had to wear our shoes. Barefoot days when you were just a kid. Barefoot days, oh boy, the things you did. You'd go down to a shady nook with a bent pin for a hook. You'd fish all day, fish till night, but the darned old fish refused to bite. Then how you'd slide down some old cellar door. You'd slide and slide till your pants got tore. Then you'd have to go home and stay in your bed till mother got busy with a needle and thread. Oh boy, what joy we had in barefoot days. Take your little sweetheart by the hand. Oh, gee, but ain't love grand. Off of the picnic in the wood, along comes a gang from the neighborhood. Take your little box that's full of lunch. Like a sly old fox, sneak away from the bunch. Over the hill, like Jack and Jill, but you don't go for water. Find a quiet spot, not a soul around. Spread the lunch all over the ground. When you turn around, you nearly die. There's a cow in the middle of your custard pie. You get a milk pail, you're going to be brave. And then you find out that the cow won't behave. Oh boy, what joy we had in Barefoot Dave.
Billy, well, you know, Billy Jones stuffed a lot of music and lyrics right there on it. I mean, we should have played that for Kay Lineball, the Lineball sisters, about not wearing your shoes. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's extended episode of The Leroy Show. I know there's many, many listeners out there, and I really enjoy doing it for you. You never know what you can get out of people when they sit around and talk a little bit. Different generations. It could be a good thing. I'll try to contact Irv with Marcy and Wendy next week. And you never know. We may have a mystery guest. I hope you enjoyed the program. Signing off from North Jefferson County. Have a great week.